الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about your chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with your paper, pencil, pen, or some way to take notes, or some kind of recording to take notes for yourself that you can review later on. And by the way, those of you who have been listening or attending Islamic study class, our weekly class, welcome back to class. And those of you who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. And I would also want to reiterate that I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I would go back and forth with you regarding the faith that you practice. Today's topic is the enemy of man, which is Shaitan or Iblis, or some people just call him the devil. You have to know your enemy so you prepare yourself to defend yourself from your enemy. At this point, we're defending our soul from our enemy, which is Shaitan or Iblis. Now, open your Quran up to chapter 15, verse 28 to 44. That's chapter 15, verses 28 to 44. I'm going to give you time to open it up. Hopefully everyone have your Quran near you so you can follow along. I'm going to read only in the English, because the Arabic may take a little more time for me to do the Arabic and then the English. So I'm only going to do the English only. And that's chapter 15, verses 28 through 44. And this particular verse is going to talk about the interaction between Allah and Shaitan pertaining to mankind when he first created Adam. And it says, "Remember when your Rabb," meaning your Lord, "said to the angels, 'I'm about to create a man from sounding clay, black mud molded into shape. When I complete his molding and breathe into him my spirit, kneel down and prostrate before him.' Accordingly, the angels prostrated altogether. Except Iblis," which is Shaitan. Iblis is not an angel, because the angels are basically made from light, a nur, and then Iblis and other creations of Allah are made from what you call smokeless fire. And so Iblis would just happen to be in people, amongst the angels at that time. Because some people call Iblis or Shaitan a fallen angel. That's not true. He would just happen to be amongst the angel when Allah created mankind. "Now, all the angels bowed down except for Iblis or Shaitan. He refused to join those who prostrated. Allah asked, 'O Iblis, what is the matter with you that you did not join those who prostrated?' He replied, 'It does not behoove me to prostrate myself to this man whom you have created from sounding clay, black mud molded into shape.' Allah said, 'Get out of here. You are accursed. The curse remains with you to the day of judgment.' At this, Iblis requested, 'Rabb,'" meaning Lord, "'give me respite to the day of resurrection.' Allah said, 'All right, you are given the respite to the day of appointed time.' Iblis said, 'Rabb, since you let me go astray, I will make evil fair seeming to them on earth, and I will seduce them all except those of them who are your sincere devotees.' Allah said, 'This course of action is all right with me. You will not have any authority over my devotees except those misguided ones who follow you. They will be all destined for hell, which has seven gates. Each gate will be assigned a separate group from amongst them. So we see very quickly in this particular verse how Iblis was the first arrogant one. He is the first one to discriminate against another creation of Allah. And so he refused to bow down when Allah told everyone to bow down, all the angels bow down, everyone present to bow down. He refused to do so because he was made, because we human beings were made out of sounding clay, mold by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he commanded the angels to bow down. Everyone in present to bow down, he refused to do it. And so he asked Allah, he asked permission. He know Allah is great. Allah's creator of all, he asked permission, or give me respite. Allow me to misguide those that, and I won't touch those who are the devotees to you. And Allah said, okay, no, all right, no problem. That, so be it. Until the day of resurrection, to the day of judgment, you can misguide though you can, but those that are going to be amongst them, those that you will not be able to guide, those who are sincere devotees. And I pray to Allah, those who are Muslim and non-Muslim to are listening to this, that we be sincere devotees to of Allah and towards Allah and worshiping Allah. Now, some of this is going to be kind of different than what I usually talk about, but you have to know your enemy, and the enemy of mankind is Shaitan. And he knows mankind very well, from the beginning of mankind, from Adam all the way down to the last man created before Allah, before Judgment Day. And Allah raises up, because we come from dirt, we go back into dirt, and we raise up again from dirt. And on that day, Allah will ask us what we did with our life and what we did with our wealth and what we did with our health and what we did with our time. And these kind of things Allah is going to ask us about. Hopefully, we all will have some positive thing to say of what we did with our life and our wealth, and that we worship Allah and we spend our money on the poor and that we always help people. So hopefully, we'll be able to tell Allah, well, he will already know because I've already written our book and he's aware of everything. He knows everything. So let me talk about some of the tricks of Shaitan, because you have to know your enemy. Now, this mostly is focused towards Muslim, and when you all who are listening to me, maybe one day you will become a Muslim, and so it will pertain to you also. When the adhan, meaning the call of prayer, when prayer is in, we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, calling people to come to pray. And so that's the adhan, that the prayer is in. Okay, when the adhan is pronounced, Shaitan takes to his heels and passes wind with noise during his flight in order not to hear the adhan. When the adhan is completed, he comes back and again takes to his heels when the iqama is pronounced, meaning first you have the adhan that the prayer is in, then the iqama, okay, let's stand up and make the prayer. So those are two different calls. And one, and each time the shaitan or devil runs away and try to make noise so it won't hear the adhan and will not hear the iqama. Okay, so and when the iqama is pronounced and after it's completed, he returns again till he whispers into the heart of the person, the person who so he wants to deviate them from their prayer. In other words, once the iqama call and we're standing for prayer and before Allah, the shaitan comes back to us and he try to whisper things into our ear to make us not think about our prayer and think about many, many different other things. So he wants to divert us from our attention of our prayer. And he makes us remember things which he does not recall, or he does not recall to his mind before the prayer, and that causes him to forget how much he has prayed. So Shaitan, he comes when we're in prayer, Allahu Akbar, and we're in prayer, and then he comes and he whispers things to us, and he says things to us, and talks to us really while we're trying to make prayer between and worship our Lord, and he tried to make us forget and end up sometime forgetting where we are in prayer. Did I make two units or did I make one unit in the prayer? Did I do it? And so all these different things are going through our minds. So we ask Allah to help us and guide us to make us strong in the area when we're making our prayer and keep Shaitan away from us while we're making our prayer. So this is what he do. His goal is to misguide as many people as possible, as many followers as possible. And he will, he may not be able to get us into big things. Say, for example, make Muslims just leave Islam altogether. But you have to look out for the small things. Look out for those small things. Just a little thing, okay? If we don't make our ghusl or our wudu well, and just maybe do half a wudu or something like that, don't do it well, and then later on make up excuses, okay, I'm still good. Then do less, I'm still good. And then we do 25%, I'm still good. And only do 10%, I'm still good. And so that's how he gradually get a hold to the Muslim or get a hold to people. You start doing something 100%, then it goes down to 90%, then it goes to 80%, then 70%, until it gets to zero, that you're not doing that good thing any longer. That's how Satan gets to people. So we have to know our enemy. It was also mentioned, one of the Sahaba, one of the companions of the Prophet, he said, Satan puts three knots at the back of the head of any of you if he ever sleeps. That's what the Prophet said to the people. On every knot he reads and exhales the following words: the night is long, so stay asleep. When one wakes up and remembers Allah, one knot is undone. And when one performs wudu, ablution, or washes up, preparing for prayer, the second knot is undone. And when one prays, the third knot is undone. And one gets up energetic with a good heart in the morning. Otherwise, one gets up lazy and with nothing but mischief on one's heart. And so this is what the shaitan do. He try to convince us, particularly as Muslims, stay asleep. You were tired. You're tired. You had a long night. Stay asleep. To try to get us to miss the prayer. Or get us to, during the day, try to get us to say things to us that make us miss the prayer. So we need to understand this and understand the enemy. And those of you who are not Muslim, shaitan will do all kinds of things to you and say all kinds of things to you and say things to you to make you not even want to embrace Islam. Islam is this. Islam is that. Don't embrace that religion. It is this, is that, all the kind of negative things about Islam. But if you really ask Allah to put your understanding in your heart, that you understand what Islam is, Allah may bless you to understand this beautiful faith, and then you may be one of the people that will embrace Islam and even find out how beautiful it is. And so, but Shaitan will continue to go at us and go at us and go at us until we are following him and not following Allah. Now, obeying Allah. Also, one of the other Sahaba of the Prophet, he said, a person was mentioned before the Prophet, and peace and blessings be upon him, and he was told that he had kept on sleeping till morning, and he had not got up for prayer. The Prophet said, Shaitan urinated in your ears. And so this is from the Prophet. This is what he says. This is something that happened to convince us that not to get up for our prayers. And Muslims have to get up to make our five daily prayers every day. Now let's go to one of the other companions of the Prophet. He said, while I was sitting in the company of the Prophet, two men abused each other, and one of them became red with anger. And his jugular veins swole, meaning he was furious. On that, the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, I know a word, the saying of which will cause him to relax. If he says, I seek refuge with Allah from Shaitan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And so if you say something like that and you seek refuge in Allah, it will cool a person off. It will cool a person down, because Shaitan is making a person say what he's saying and make him more and more angry till he becomes so furious. And that we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be furious. Matter of fact, in Islam, when a person gets angry and he's standing, he should sit. And if he's sitting and he continues to be angry, then he should lay down. And also, sometimes water cools off a person, puts some water on himself or herself, in which he or she becomes angry. So those are some of the other things that a person can do. But if you look at a person, for example, when they become angry, sometimes their whole face changes. Sometimes they turn red, their eyes turn red. Sometimes their eyebrows kind of go into each other. A lot of different things happen to a people. They really transition to a whole nother person. Because they are furious, because they are mad. Now, then there also, it further said about this, he said, you should seek refuge with Allah from Shaitan. Then all his anger will go away. Somebody said to him, the Prophet, may peace be upon him, he said, seek refuge with Allah from Shaitan. The angry man said, I'm mad. So I don't know what that means, that the man continued to be mad and did not seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan, or he just said, I'm mad, I'm not going to do it now. Maybe he did it later, but I don't know. But this is one of the ways that we get Shaitan and get more control over Shaitan and get Shaitan out of us, because we're angry with somebody, we're mad at somebody. It's to say, I seek refuge with Allah from Shaitan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And so that's something that we can do to get Shaitan off of us and get Shaitan away from us and push Shaitan away from us. We have to be aware that Iblis or the devil or Shaitan whispers to us. Abu Huraira, one of the companions of the Prophet, he said that the Prophet, may peace be upon him, he said, Shaitan comes to you, to one of you, and says, We created so-and-so. Who created so-and-so? Till he says, who created your Lord? So when he whispers, when he inspires such a question, one should seek refuge with Allah and give up such thoughts. Because Shaitan will go on and on. Who created this? Who created that? Who created that? Who created Allah? And then, so when Shaitan put that kind of thing in a person's head, then a person should seek refuge in Allah and give up such thoughts. Ask Allah to protect him from such thoughts. A Shaitan said, "If who created Allah, or can Allah create a rock that is heavy to him? Or can Allah make you more worship him instead of worshiping you instead of worshiping Allah?" So we have to be careful of these kind of thoughts. And there's a Shaitan putting that into your head, because we have, over history of mankind, we have human beings say that they're God. And no human being can be God. All human beings are created from Allah. He is the Allah. He is El Khalid. He is the creator. And so you have Pharaoh, who was in Egypt many, many years ago. He said that he was God. And he had two men stand up, and he killed one man, left one alive. He said, look, you know, I have power over life and death. This man I killed, and this other man I left alive. And so, and also you have people even nowadays, in this century right now, that think that they are God. And they would say that I'm God. Some people, I think one guy has even called himself, named himself God or something like that. I don't know. And so you have this kind of situation even today. We have to also be aware of this. It was also related by Abu Huraira that the Prophet, peace and blessing upon him, he said, none of you should point out towards his brother with a weapon, meaning point towards his brother with a weapon. For if he does not know, Shaitan may tempt him to hit him, or thus he would fall into the pit of hell. In other words, we should not even point a weapon at a person, a gun or something like that, because Shaitan may tempt a person to pull the trigger, or point a knife playing with a person, like going at him with it, and the next thing you know, they actually stabbed the person, or actually shot the person, or whatever it is that they have. So we have in their hand, they may actually end up hurting or killing the person. And so we have to be careful of that, because Shaitan may make you use that in the wrong, and actually use that weapon that you have in your hand, shotgun or whatever it may be. So be very careful of that, and don't play with weapons like that. Also, Abu Huraira, may peace and blessing be. Abu Huraira, he mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, and he said, "Do not make your house as graveyards. Shaitan runs away from the house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. That is the second chapter in the Quran. And when a person reads this in their house, Shaitan runs from the house." So Rasulullah, my Prophet Muhammad, peace be and blessed be upon him, he said, like, basically fill your house up with Quran, particularly this surah, the second chapter in the Quran, which is Surah Al-Baqarah. And that it's the largest chapter, in Quran. I think it's it goes up to like 286 verses. This is the longest one in Quran. And so we read that, and Shaitan stays away from our household, and also for Muslims, just read Quran, period. Because Shaitan don't want to be around this kind of thing when you have that spiritual wealth in the house, spiritual protection in the house. And so Shaitan will also make us attack each other. So what do you mean by that? You probably say, Imam, what do you mean by that? I mean, it was narrated by Aisha, which is one of the prophet's wives. She said, when it was the day of the Battle of Uhud, that's one of the battles that the Muslims fought, the pagans were defeated. Then Shaitan shouted, O Allah's worshiper, beware of what is behind you. So the front files attacked the back files of the army, meaning the front of the army. You and I, we're in the same military. And then all of a sudden, Shaitan said, look behind you. Watch out behind you. So we told the first part of my group of fighters turn around and then start fighting the ones behind us. So we have to be careful of that. And so Huzaifa, he looked, and it behold, there was his father, Al-Yaman, being attacked. He shouted to his companions, O Allah's worshiper, my father, my father. But by Allah, they did not stop till they killed him, meaning Huzaifa's father. Huzaifa said, may Allah forgive you. Arwan said, Huzaifa continued asking Allah's forgiveness for the killer of his father until he died. And so this is the beauty of Islam. He watched his father being killed, but he didn't say, oh Allah, kill those people who killed my father. He said, oh Allah, please forgive those people. Please forgive them. Please forgive them. Because they knew not what they were doing. Shaitan had whispered in their ear, and turn around, the enemy's behind you. And really, what we call nowadays, friendly fire. And so that's what happened. They were we were in the same military group, and we basically turned on each other because Shaitan put that in their heads to turn around and fight each other. So you have to be careful of it, that Shaitan will have you turn on your own spouse, or turn on your family, or turn on those who are close to you. So you have to be very careful of that, because Shaitan, that's part of Shaitan's tricks. Now for the Muslim. And so you probably see this when Muslims eat. We eat with our right hand and not with our left hand. Even the left-handed people, they have to, to the best of their ability, eat with their right hand. And why do we do that? Because the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, he said, do not eat with your left hand, for Shaitan eats with his left hand. Because Shaitan eats with his left hand, we don't eat with our left hand. We do the opposite, and we eat with our right hand. And I know some left-handed people who are Muslim, and it's a challenge for them to eat with their right hand, because all their life they ate with their left hand, but then they became Muslim. Now they have to switch hands and eat with their right hand. Even when we go to the bathroom, whatever, we use our left hand for cleansing or cleaning ourselves, and our right hand we use it for things that are not around that whole cleaning our private area. It was also mentioned, it was warning against being part of a community, staying part of the Muslim community. So why do I say that? Being part of what we call the Jama'ah, being part of the community. Because it was said by one of the companions of the Prophet, he said, verily, Shaitan is the wolf of man, just as the wolf is the enemy of a flock. He seizes a solitary sheep going astray from the flock, or going aside from the flock. So avoid the branching paths. It is essential for you to remain along with the community. And so from this, we see that we have to remain with the community, because that's where our strength is. When we start branching off and going out on our own and getting away from the community, we have no one to support us. No one even to know what we're doing. No one to come to our aid if we need aid, as far as Muslims are concerned. Others can help you, but not the same way that maybe a Muslim would be able to help you to remember Allah, recite Quran, making your prayer. A lot of people might remind you to do that, but we as Muslims, we know the importance of making a prayer and fasting and asking help from Allah. And so that's why we cannot stray away from the community. And you all who are not Muslim, when you come into Islam, right now we're 2 billion strong, approximately 2 billion strong. Because when you come into Islam, you now have 2 billion more members of your family. No matter where you go in the world, you're going to have Muslim family there, and pray to Allah that Allah protects you and provide for you when you're astray and you need someone to protect you and help you, because something's going on. You oversee something like that, and something not going right with your situation, and that Allah sends a good help to you and send the Muslims that be able to help you with whatever you need, and going to guide you and protect you and take care of you. Because once you become Muslim, you go from your small nuclear family to an additional 2 billion more people that are part of your family. And so I just want to remind us of that, and not to go astray from the path, and not to lead a community. And those of you who are not Muslim, you come into the Islamic community, be firm on your faith and be firm in the community, and find out in the community, how can you help those individuals that need help? How can you help people who are Muslim and people who are non-Muslim? And so I just want to mention this to you all, and so that you understand about the protection that the community gives to you. I want to talk about another protection. And jinn is also made from smokeless fire. Okay, and so I want to also mention to you about the jinn. So they were also made from the angel made from the nur, or from the light, and then you have the jinn, shaitan, made from the sort of smokeless fire. And some jinns, that's J-I-N-N, some are believers, some are Muslim, and then you have some that are disbelievers, some do not obey Allah. And so you have some that, when people sometimes say, well, I'm possessed by a jinn. Okay, there may be some that have entered into a person and caused them to do things that they don't normally do, and act at a different kind of way. But that's a song about the jinn. That's a whole nother subject which I may tackle one day. But let me just get through what I'm saying. And that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he was talking about, he said a man requested that a jinn put magic on him, on a beautiful woman, beautiful women. The jinn could not, because the lady, meaning the woman, I'm sorry, the woman, the lady was protected, and if they went near to her, they would be harmed or burnt up, because she was protected, because she fasted and prayed a lot, and kept to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. In other words, if a person stays firm on their Islam, they fast a lot, they pray a lot, they ask for protection from Allah, they follow what the Prophet tell them to follow and do, then Allah puts a certain kind of protection on them, that the jinn or the evil ones don't even want to go near them, for fear that they're going to be burnt up and harmed if they go near this individual. Let me give you some other tips for protecting yourself from shaitan. I won't give you many because the time is running out. It's that get friends that are religious friends. So if you go astray, they'll be able to guide you back to the right path. And so those are the kind of friends that you want to be around. You want to be around the ones that are going to guide you back, and not the ones that are going to encourage you to keep doing wrong and evil. So that's one of the tips I want to refer to you, or give to you, is that get friends that are good on their religion, good on obeying Allah. And we able to also encourage you, and you also be able to encourage them. When a person go, when Muslims go into a bathroom, through a restroom, we say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." Okay, out of whom in the a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Okay, we ask Allah to protect us from any evil or any jinn or anything that's inside our bathroom, because sometimes that's where they hang out, inside places that are not clean, and they will hang out into the bathroom. So we go Muslim, what we do, and you may see Muslims do this. We go into the bathroom seeking refuge in Allah from whatever evil's in there, and we go in with our left foot. And then when we come out of the bathroom, we say Ghufranak, ask Allah to forgive us, and we come out with our right foot. That's what Muslims normally do, going in and outside the bathroom. So I just wanted to mention that. Another way to protect ourselves from anything that is evil, anything that is going to be harmful to us, and that we go in there and we seek refuge in Allah from any evil in there. And also we thank Allah, we say Ghufranak, ask Allah for forgiveness. And because there's one time, one scholar, he was talking about a jinn. He was removing a jinn from a person, and when you're moving a jinn, he asked the jinn, like, why do you possess this woman? Why are you possessing this woman? And he said, she invited me in. And he said, how? She poured hot water on my children. And the scholars said, she could not see your children. The jinn said, had she sought refuge in Allah, we would have left and would not have been there. So in other words, when you seek refuge in Allah, going to the bathroom or restroom, the jinns leave. And so this lady did not do so. So the jinn was, and then she burnt her the child of the jinn. And so it became angry and possessed her and made her do all kinds of things that jinns do inside of this woman's body, because she burnt the jinn's children. Like, anyone harmed your children, that you would probably be not very happy with them either. And so because of that, it possessed the woman. But had the woman said what I mentioned earlier, then the jinns would have left, and it wouldn't have been that issue for her. But I will not go any further because our time is running short. But I do, if you want to know more information about the enemy of mankind, which is Shaitan, Iblis, then you can get more information by going to Why Islam. They could give more information about this particular subject. You can go to American Open University or the International Online University, and they give you more information. Or you can even join and register yourself and join the classes of American Open University or International Online University, and learn more and more and more and more about Islam, this beautiful way of life. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your host or your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.